Very important text that we're going to be looking at today. One that we all most certainly need to take heed to, especially if we call ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus. But today, as we look through these short verses, 22 through 25 of James, we're going to see that there's a command, we're going to see that there's a comparison, we're going to see that there's a commission, and then we're going to look at the conclusion. So, first and foremost, verse 22, we're going to see a command that James gives us. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. God's word is to be obeyed, and not just heard. Those who are doers of the word, we read at the end of verse 25, there is a result. They will be blessed in their deeds. The one who obeys the word will be blessed in what he does. But there's also a warning in verse 22 that if one is merely a hearer and not a doer, he deceives himself. Now, we've covered that James is the half-brother of Jesus. He grew up with Jesus. He is very familiar with Jesus' words, not only in his ministry that we have a written account of in the Gospels, but I'm certain that Jesus said many of these same things even growing up as he grew in wisdom and knowledge of the Scriptures. Being a doer of the word carries the idea of bringing forth fruit, being productive and fruitful for God. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, Jesus says this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Luke gives us a similar statement in chapter 6, verses 47 through 48. "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." In two chapters later of Luke, chapter 8, verse 15, Jesus is telling a parable of the sower. There are four people in that parable who hear the word of God. They all hear it. But at the end of that parable, this is what Jesus says. "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." And in John chapter 15, verses 2 through 8, Jesus goes on to say that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you may be my disciples. Now we've seen that God is a good and a perfect God who gives us good and perfect gifts. And one of his good and perfect gifts that he has given to us is his word. This is the very word of God. Nothing in this Bible from Genesis 1 to the last chapter of Revelation was written by a man's own interpretation. This is the inspired word of God given to us by God himself. And he wants us to read his word and to remember what he says. God has given to us this good and perfect gift, which gives us light and gives us understanding. It is able to keep us from sinning. It is able to keep us from stumbling. God wants to perfect and to complete us, as we saw earlier in James chapter 1 at the beginning, that The testing of our faith produces patience, and we saw last week that the wrath of man does not produce righteousness. God wants to produce in our lives righteousness. He wants His Word to produce in us fruit for His glory. And it is only by hearing God's Word and then obeying God's Word that we are able to bring forth fruit for His glory. God does not merely want us to be hearers. So now let's look at the warning that He gives to those who are hearers only. He says that they deceive themselves. We're going to look again at these scripture references from Matthew, Luke, and John. In the same chapters, the same paragraph that they're written, we're going to see the other side of the same coin here. Those who hear God's word but do not act upon what they hear. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 26 and 27, Jesus says this, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Luke chapter 6, verse 49, Jesus says, "But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." In Luke chapter 8, again the parable of the sower, here are the three other hearts, the three other people that heard the word of God, but they did not keep it. And here's what happened. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside, that's the first one, are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The second one is this: but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. They hear the word of God, and they may even believe it for a little while, but eventually they fall away because they do not keep it. They do not treasure it. And in John 15, verse 2, he says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away." Those who hear God's word and do not obey it, who do nothing with it, will eventually fall to their ruin when trials and testings and temptations come. They have no root. They are choked out by the cares of this world, by riches, by the pleasures of life. They are not fruitful, and they do not bring glory to God. They do not experience the blessing of God, and they ultimately deceive themselves both internally and externally. And they, which means that their interpretation of reality is skewed. They do not interpret the trials and the testings and the temptations by the truth of God's word. Instead, this word deceived, it means they reason falsely. They interpret the trials and the testings and the temptations with false reasonings rather than with the truth. And that leads to a whole lot of other issues. So let's talk about being self-deceived for a minute. Remember, James is writing to Jewish Christians who have been scattered abroad because of persecution. And he is warning them of the possibility and the reality that comes from only hearing God's word, of being deceived and not doing what they hear. And once again, James remembers well what Jesus says about self-deceived religious peoples. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And again in Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus asks a very heart-piercing question. He says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, this is recorded for us. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says that I know him, I know Jesus, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So not everyone who calls Jesus Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom of God. Many religious people will stand before Christ at the judgment seat, and they will boast about the great many things that they did in his name, seeking to justify themselves only to find themselves condemned. Many people will say that they know Jesus, but it's evident that they do not keep his commandments. They are liars, deceiving themselves. Many people claim to be religious and do religious things, even in Jesus' name, without actually doing his will. So it is possible to be outwardly religious and yet inwardly lawless. It is possible to say that you know Jesus and to say that you know his word, and yet you do not obey him by doing what he says. It is possible to hear the truth and know the truth and yet to deceive yourselves at the same time. We need to seriously evaluate our own claims and our own conduct. And James is going to show us a way in which we can do that accurately. In verses 23 through 24, God's word is compared to a mirror. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. A hearer of the word and not a doer is one who opens the mirror of God's word, observes what it says, closes it, goes about his way, and immediately forgets what it was that he observed. He is a forgetful hearer and will be unable to stand the testing of his faith. He will be unable to endure temptation and unable to obey the word of God and be fruitful in the midst of various trials. He will be guided by deception or false reasoning rather than the truth. He will be driven and tossed by various winds of doctrine, and he will be unstable in all his ways, all because he cannot remember what God said. He doesn't know what to do, how to do it, and when he needs to do it the most. In these next verses, James is going to give us three practical applications that we all need to implement in our lives so that we can go from being hearers only to doers of the word. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And we'll stop there and we'll talk about this. A person who looks into the perfect law of liberty, continues in it, and obey what he says is what we need to be. We need to look carefully and we need to look intently into God's word. Now, the perfect law of liberty is a term that encompasses all of Scripture. From beginning to end, the entirety of God's word is truth. And we need to look into the entire thing. the whole counsel of God. It is not a law of compulsion enforced from without, but a law in which the one who is subject to it is readily obedient through his desire and delight in its teachings. He who looks into it is under law to Christ, implying union and subjection to him and to his word. And we're not talking about being under the law as in the Mosaic law. We are under grace. We are not under the Mosaic law. But in terms of the perfect law of liberty, we are under the law of God's word, and we are bound and subject and united to Christ. And we must be readily obedient to obey his teachings. In Psalm chapter 19, verses 7, 10 through 11, the psalmist says this: "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." So we see that the law of the Lord, the word of God, is perfect, and it is able to convert our souls. It is able to liberate us and set us free from the bondage of being self-deceived and the bondage of being deceived from external sources. It is able to set us free because it is the truth. It is the truth of God and his word. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. We are to desire it above all riches, and we are to delight in it above all delicacies. And that is the first step in moving from being a hearer of the word to a doer of the word. Do we desire God's word? Do we delight in what God's word teaches us? When that happens in our hearts, then we will be more readily obedient. If it is not our desire and our delight, then we will struggle. We will struggle to want to obey it. The second part of verse 25, after we look into the perfect law of liberty, is that we are to continue in it. We are to abide in it with steadfast continuance. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 say this: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and in whatever he does, he shall prosper." John chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, Jesus says this: "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered." So we need to look into the perfect law of liberty, and we need to continue in it. We need to meditate on God's word day and night so that it will be ingrained in our heart, that it will be implanted in our heart, so that when we come across various trials, when our faith is being tested, or when we are in the face of temptation and being drawn away by our own desires and enticed to sin against the Lord who bought us, we will not fall. We will stand. We will be fruitful for his glory. We need to delight in God's word, and we need to meditate on his word day and night. Now, the third part of this commission, after we look into the word, after we abide in the word, we are to obey the word. Now, to be a doer of the word, I know the New King James says, "Be a doer of the work." King James says, "Be a doer of the work." The word work here means to perform or to do with toil, as an effort or an occupation. Now, to meditate on God's word is a tedious task. To do it day and night is a tedious, laborious task. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. And quite frankly, it just doesn't come natural to us. We've got so many other things going on in our lives that want to distract us and take us away from God's word. But a man who makes the effort to meditate on God's word and memorize God's word and labor to remember God's word day and night, he will be a blessed man. Now, about 3 years ago, I was going through biblical counseling. And part of that biblical counseling involved memorizing scripture. But instead of just week after week memorizing these certain verses or certain passages, my counselor encouraged me and challenged me to read these verses, read these passages up to 22 times a day. Now, with my work schedule and my home life and all this and that, I had to find time and make time to make sure that I do what he said. I wanted to be faithful to him, and I wanted to not slack in my counseling sessions. I wanted to be a faithful counselee. And so I had to figure out how to implement reading these verses, reading these passages 22 times a day, and making sure that I ingrain God's word in my heart. And the Lord provided a means for that, but it was laborious. I had to put in the effort. I had to put in the work to do this, and God met me in that effort, and he really blessed me. He changed my heart through abiding in his word. Now, I know how much effort it takes to do this, but I also know how easily that labor and that effort can be squandered. Again, we face various trials in our lives. We are tempted by various things. We have an adversary who wants nothing more to undo the work that God has done in our lives. For me, the thing that really squandered my efforts was the amount of times that Melissa and I have moved over the past 3 years. We moved and got distracted and things happened and we got out of routine, and it really squandered all that effort that I put in to memorizing so many verses and so many passages of scripture. But God is faithful, and he has brought us to a place where he has been so gracious, and he's regrouping us, I guess if you can say he's regrouping that. And we are putting in new effort and new work and new routines to abide in God's word and memorize it and abide in it as we look into it. Because it's such an important task. And it's what God calls us to do. We must discipline ourselves for the purposes of godliness and fruitfulness. And again, this is contrary to our natural tendencies. We want the easy way out. We want these things to just come natural to us. When we start putting in this effort, there's always going to be something that's going to try to take it away from us. But if we persevere, and if we trust in God's sufficient grace to help us persevere, then we will. We will persevere by God's grace if we are faithful to do the things that God has called us to do. Spiritual maturity and fruitfulness does not come without working for it. And the reward is worth the work. And we see that the reward is at the end of verse 25, that this one will be blessed in what he does. When we look into God's word and we abide in God's word and obey God's word, then we will reap the reward of God's blessing. But if we are self-deceived, forgetful hearers of God's word, who do not act upon what we hear, then we will withhold God's blessing from ourselves. Remember, God wants to bless us. He wants to produce in us patience and righteousness and wisdom for His glory. He wants us to be productive and fruitful so that we will bear more fruit in our lives. And He wants to perfect and complete us, and He wants us to lack nothing from Him. God wants to bless us more than we want Him to bless us. Remember again that God is a good and perfect God who does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He gives us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. He gives us everything that we need to keep us from stumbling and falling in the midst of various trials and the testing of our faith. He gives us everything that we need to endure the temptations of our own wicked and deceitful hearts that draw us away and entice us to sin. God does not desire that we stumble and fall. He does not desire our harm. He is not ill-willed toward us. He wants to bless us. But as Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. If we hear the word of God, we abide in it, continually laboring and toiling to hide it in our hearts, and act upon what we hear, then we will reap God's blessing and bring Him glory by being fruitful. But if we hear God's word and we do not act upon what we hear, we will reap deception and we will ultimately ruin ourselves. We need so desperately, as the whole body of Christ, not just Redeeming Grace Bible Church, but as the whole body of Christ, we need to encourage our brothers and sisters in the Lord in the various contexts of our lives, at work, in ministry, in our families. We need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. I spent a great deal of my early Christian life hearing only and not doing. And I deceived myself. And I was deceiving others. One of the greatest deceptions that a person can have is to think that he is in God's will just because he knows a few Bible verses. Just because he goes to church regularly, faithfully, just because he goes to a few Bible studies throughout the week, that doesn't mean that he is doing God's will. That just means he's hearing God's word, which is a good thing. But if we just stop right there at hearing God's word, that's not what the Lord calls us to do. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said in his word, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say?" If I had died a few years ago and stood before the Lord, that's what he would have asked me. Why did you call me Lord, Lord, and you did not do what I said? I was a liar. I was deceived, and I was deceiving others. God doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want anybody to be self-deceived. He wants to liberate us through His word and set us free from the bondage of deception that we are so easily susceptible to. He wants us to be free to obey Him. And He enables us to do that. Henry Morris says this: "The Word of God is like a mirror which enables us to see ourselves as we really are." Andy Woods would add that God's word, like a mirror, will always tell you the truth. So we need to open up God's word, and we need to let it expose us to the very depths of our beings. It will never lie to us. It will be bluntly honest about where we are in our walks with the Lord. It will let you know if you are doing the word. It will let you know if you are in God's will. And it will let you know if you are merely hearing God's word. And we need to take heed to what it tells us. God wants to accomplish a good and perfect purpose of setting us free from deception and making us productive and fruitful for the glory and praise of His name. What God's word reveals to us about us is only profitable for us. God doesn't want us to be forgetful hearers. He wants us to look into His word and remember what it says so that we will be equipped to know what to do, how to do it, and when we need to do it. God is such a good and gracious God. And I'm thankful that James doesn't just leave us at the command of be doers. Stop just hearing the word and start doing it. He doesn't just leave us there. He gives us these practical applications. Look into the word of God. Look into the law of liberty. Be set free from it. Abide in it. Here's how you abide in it. You meditate on it day and night. You take what you read throughout the day or the night, whenever you read the scriptures. You take what you read, take some notes on it, write it down, put it on some note cards, carry it around with you throughout the day. Look at it. Meditate on it. Remember it. Because if you don't, there's going to be a trial coming. The testing of your faith is coming. We as Christians will not go through this life on easy street. The road is narrow and it's difficult. We will not enter the kingdom of God without some tribulation. Right? So the testing of our faith, the various trials that we face, we need to be equipped for. And God has given us the means, the equipping, to handle and stand firm in these trials, in these testings, and the temptations. Remember, there is a difference between the testing of our faith. God allows testings so that it produces in us the fruits of righteousness, the fruits of the Spirit. But God also allows temptation, even though He's not the source of temptation. Satan is a source of temptation, but also our own wicked, sinful desires are the source of our temptations. Temptations are meant to keep us away from the Lord, to keep us from obeying God's word, to cause us to fall and stumble and sin against the Lord. God does not want us to do that. God is good. God is perfect, and He is gracious, and He has given us everything we need to obey Him. And this is what He is calling us to. He has given us these very practical applications, and if it is something that we need help on as a body to work through in the various contexts of our lives, then we can talk about that. We can get together as brothers and sisters and share with each other the struggles that we face. How do I obey this? How do I obey this part of His word? We can talk about those things. God gives us the means to do it. He wants us to do it. So I pray that as a body of believers at Redeeming Grace Bible Church, that we will strive. We will strive from here on out to be doers of the word. That we will strive to remember what we hear in God's word. Strive to remember it. Strive to do it. Look into the law of liberty. Abide in it. Continuing steadfastly, and then obey, so that we can reap the reward of God's blessing. Again, God wants to bless us. Sometimes we don't believe that. God wants to bless us. But do we want that blessing as much as God wants to give it? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is profitable for doctrine. to teach us the truth and set us free by the truth. Your word is profitable to reprove us, to show us the way, the ways in which we are failing to live according to your word. Your word is profitable to correct us, to tell us the way in which we should be going. And then your word, Lord, is profitable to train us in the way of righteousness. You show us not just what to obey, but how to obey it, so that when the time comes and we are being tested or tempted or tried, we can stand firm through obedience to your word, and we can bring forth fruit to your glory. Lord, would you incline our hearts to obey? Incline our hearts to strive to remember what it is that you tell us in your word. Would you plant your word down deep in us, cause it to bear fruit to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.